and what comes next in the battle for immigrant rights. At 11 today on Between the Covers, we speak with award-winning author Colm McCann about 13 Ways of Looking, his new short fiction collection. And at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, Portland's Lillian M. Whitlow returns with Lift Every Voice and Sing, an anthology of short biographies of outstanding African Americans. That's all coming up right after Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary coming right up. Thank you, KBOO members, for your financial support. Keep the station on the air. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Occupiers, a reading and book signing with Michael A. Gould-Wartofsky on Thursday, November 12th at the Q Center in Portland. The book traces the occupation of Zuccotti Park and some of its counterparts across the United States and around the world, from inception to eviction. Even if the movement fails to achieve radical reform, Gould-Wartofsky maintains its offshoots may well accelerate the pace of change in the United States in the years to come. Again, that's The Occupiers, a reading and book signing with Michael A. Gould-Wartofsky, Thursday, November 12th, at the Q Center, 4115 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, November 5th. Remember the 5th of November, 2015. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Chuck Sam, Director of Communications for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. Chuck joins us today to talk about his nation's decision to block Nestle from stealing, however you want to put it, water up at Cascade Locks, a place that I go to all the time. It's close by my farm, and the very notion of losing that beautiful, pristine spawning stream that flows down into the river. It hurts me personally. And that said, moving right along, Mr. President, do you understand that the last of Indonesia's forests are being burned? Same goes for the Amazon rainforest, the lungs of the planet. And you, Mr. President, want to go down in history as a man who took the planet into its final death spiral. Yes, indeed, the details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership have been released to the general public. Many of us, of course, WikiLeaks, already know a bit about what's in store should this thing pass. Just a brief heads up before we talk with Chuck Sams. What happens now is that once the details of this massive 12-nation so-called trade deal, it's not a trade deal at all, it amounts to the privatization of virtually the last of the planet's natural resources, and included in the planet's natural resources is labor, human effort, in other words, work. We're literally being sold, workers, labor, that 99% of us are being sold to the 1%. Think about that. The text of the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal will be under congressional and broader public microscope for at least 90 days before President Obama can sign the agreement. The text, it's been, of course, through a legal scrub since the deal was completed. It'll be probably, in all likelihood, followed by something known as an intent to sign message to Congress from Obama, meaning that there will in fact be 90 days before he can sign the deal. That rule is part of the trade. That's part of the fast track legislation that was passed into law this summer. After that, the White House will send implementing language to the Hill, starting the clock for the Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committees to begin their process of moving it through their panels. We have some phone calls to make, don't we, listeners? Okay, we've said that. It's time to move on. There are a number of headlines here as well, I see, but I think it's far more important now to talk to Chuck Sams. He is, as we said before, the Director of Communications for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. Good morning, Chuck, and welcome to KABU, and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be visiting with you.
Well, so this is yet another treaty issue. And Nestle apparently has no understanding, or at least apparently no respect for treaties. And, you know, perhaps 1854 doesn't mean very much to them, but to a great many people, that it means a lot. And I believe that when we talk about sometimes standing on places that were sacred to First Nations and that had special spiritual meaning, that's all well and good. But if you come right down to it, everywhere we stand, everywhere, belongs to First Nations. It's not a matter of, oh, this is a sacred spot, so let's not stand on it. The whole works belongs to First Nations, to Indigenous people. So that said, I want to ask you about how the Umatilla Nation came to decide to oppose Nestle.
Well, we've been following this water issue at Cascade Locks for a number of years. This originally started under the Kulongoski administration, and Governor Kulongoski actually had proposed this exchange with the city of Cascade Locks with the state on Oxbow Springs water that comes down, and it's an exchange. It was originally characterized as an exchange of a half of CFS from the state for a full CFS from the city of Cascade's municipal water. Under the exchange, it allowed for public review and public interest. Well, there were a number of court cases challenged by environmental organizations against the state, which the state eventually prevailed. But under Kitzhaber's administration, he pulled it from an exchange and changed it into a water transfer. And a water transfer doesn't have the same public interest review, environmental review, that you would necessarily get under an exchange program. So we've been concerned about this for some time. Of course, Governor Brown inherited this transfer. So back in September, the Board of Trustees of the Confederated Tribes asked for a government consultation with the governor's staff to discuss our concerns around this, because we don't have enough information available to actually for us to determine what natural resources may be at risk and what treaty rights may be at risk. The public process allows for that.
So under Governor Brown and event that she is re-elected or elected formally governor, her position on treaties, what's your sense of her understanding of treaties and how they ought to be implemented, how they ought to be respected and carried out? I don't know how better to say
it. Governor Brown, the Confederated Tribes Umatilla Indian Reservation have had a long-term relationship with Governor Brown spanning nearly 20-plus years. You know, when she first went into the legislature in the 90s, her first assignment was on the Commission for Indian Services. And so she sat as a representative on the Commission of Indian Services. She's worked closely with the Nine Tribes of Oregon. She's worked closely with this tribe as both a legislator and when she was Secretary of State. As a matter of fact, she helped set up one of the first election ballot boxes, which is normally just held in the county, on reservation land, so that tribal members and community members would be able to have better access for election purposes. And when she was ascended to the governorship, one of her first visits actually was out here in eastern Oregon with the Confederated Tribes Umatilla Indian Reservation. So we know that she has a strong understanding and a great respect for tribal several treaties. And we understand and acknowledge that she inherited a process from two previous governors. So our request to her was to reopen the transfer into an exchange, and we're very hopeful that she'll take that under consideration and make that move. So not only our interests are protected, but all of Oregonians' interests are protected by being able to comment and look at the studies that have been done on this water exchange versus a water transfer proposal.
Is there any effort being made right now on the part of tribal interests to simply say no to Nestle, and it won't be a transfer or anything? It will simply be that the stream is protected in perpetuity for the Umatilla Nation.
Well, we don't have enough information just to say no to Nestle, because again, it's been done not in an open forum. But we also, my vice chairman, Leo Stewart, also expressed his concerns regarding Nestle's practices around the country, that many of their water rights that they've acquired or water transfers or exchanges they've required have been done behind closed doors and have not always had a positive effect on the communities that they said that they were serving by having a bottling plant. So we wanted the state to recognize that. We provided that data to them, asked them to take that into consideration so that they would reopen this transfer to an exchange process.
And so how do you say that we don't have enough information and that a lot of the Nestle's negotiation is done behind closed doors, and that is true, and many have discovered to their great disappointment that it hasn't always worked out favorably for people who are affected or resources that they thought they owned and thought they controlled. So that when details of this are released, how do you go about getting your hands on the details? What would it take to find out exactly what is at stake here?
Well, you know, there have been a number of studies that the state has already conducted on the groundwater and the surface water and the aquifer water that they want in this transfer exchange proposal. So we've asked, of course, to see that data. The Confederate Tribes has a very robust natural resource program and a water resources program that can do the analysis. But even that said, we may need to hire outside consultants ourselves in order to do an in-depth analysis. And we want that done for environmental purposes to ensure that none of our treaty right resources are being placed at risk.
It seems like anything that Nestle would do there would put water resources at risk. And it seems, too, to me that looking at last summer's fire season and the droughts, that one county after another drought declared. And it would appear that common sense and informed stewardship of our natural resources would dictate that Nestle should be prevented from taking water, because they have in the past, once the ink's dried on agreements, have violated those agreements in many egregious ways. And for whatever reason, they seem to be unstoppable once they have latched on to water resources. What steps are you able to take then to assure your people and to assure everyone that any dealings with Nestle would be completely transparent, and that you would have control over the waters, the streams, regardless of whether it's a transfer or an exchange? Some degree of control should be written in. What assurance do you have that will happen?
We don't have a whole lot of assurances other than our treaty right. So, you know, the water that comes out of the Oxbow Springs feeds Herman Creek. Herman Creek is a wonderful production of salmon and has great spawning areas. And what's of interesting note for us, looking at it as from the natural resource perspective, is that the height of summer when the Columbia River is near 70 degrees, you know, and can put salmon into shock and potentially cause large deaths, the salmon actually will go up Herman Creek. And up in Herman Creek, the water temperature at the height of summer, when it's extremely hot on the Columbia, is still in the 52 to 56 degree range. So it's a refuge for those salmon. And we want to ensure that the water that comes from Herman Creek, which actually begins at Oxbow Springs, continues to flow in it to keep those water temperatures down. The state says that their studies show that it would, but we don't have independent verification of that.
So, final question for you. How much time do you actually have here to get the details? We have very little time left ourselves. Briefly, how much time do you have?
We believe we still have about between 9 and 12 months. The Water Resource Department of the state will make their determination in the next 9 to 12 months. So hopefully we can get this turned around to have an exchange, which would then reopen it up so that we can have more public comment and review.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Chuck Sams, Director of Communications for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. Thanks once again for that. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, November 5th. Remember the 5th of November, 2015. Engineering for today, Rock Bergeron. Thanks, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, a major protest planned this weekend against Trump and NBC outside the theater where Saturday Night Live is produced. Also, what comes next in the battle for immigrant rights in the wake of Obama's cruel policy?